Soldiers in war while the world is at peace. The victorious war that the G-men have waged against organized crime. What mystery is there behind that triumph of law? Let's see. Let's ask J. Edgar Hoover, who as a young attorney became in 1924 director of the G-men.
There is nothing mysterious about the manner in which the Federal Bureau of Investigation works. Its formula is a simple one. Rigid requirements in regard to conduct, intelligence, and integrity. And you must realize that no case ever ends for the Federal Bureau of Investigation until it is solved and closed with the conviction of the guilty or the acquittal of the innocent.
FBI. Fidelity, bravery, integrity.
Thomas Paine Podcast, Magical Number 7. Man, there's so much to tackle. It's getting crazy. The news is crazy. Country's crazy. The world's crazy. Some people might say I'm crazy. Oh, man. It's good to be back here. Episode number 7. I'm getting better at this, I think. I feel like it's a little bit more natural than instead of fumbling around all the time. But I will be doing some fumbling for sure. Oh, man. Yeah, good stuff. We have a lot of stuff going on today. We're going to cover some current news. We're going to have some fun. That's always important. And we have a serious interview. Good to be back. Let's roll. Oh, first of all, what was this guy talking about? J. Edgar Hoover? He's always like mumbling about something and overhyping the FBI. The narrator said they were soldiers or something. The FBI are soldiers in the war against organized crime. I think they're soldiers in the war against organized crime for organized crime. They're the army. They're on the side of organized crime now. And they probably always have been when you look at J. Edgar Hoover's history, that he was taking tips from the mafia, making millions on horse races, fixed horse races. At the same time, he was supposed to be trying to rein these guys in when he was profiting from them. I mean, that's just one example. Soldiers in the war on organized crime. And no case is over till it's solved. Yeah, okay, pal. The cat's out of the bag, Hoover, and all your cronies since then and before then. America now knows you're just full of shit. So let's move on. Hey, everybody out there. Oh, so we have another emerging Democratic cheating scandal. What a big surprise. Almost let the F word slip there early. You got to watch out for the first 10 seconds. We could go either way. What a disaster in Iowa. How long have they been doing this? Hundreds of years or something like that, the Iowa caucus, and it's toast. Iowa caucus, rest in peace, done. Scandalized, corrupted by the Democrats. Yay! Where was that yay button? Hold on, let me go over here. Hit the yay button. Yay! Little slow on the controls, but anyway. What a shit show. There's no other way to say it. So the fallout is happening today. I was up late last night watching this and working on the podcast and kind of laughing about it. Hey, this little kid reminds me of like some of these little twerps I went to school with at prep school. Most of the guys from all over the world were great guys, but there's always these little snidely little twerps. you end up hanging out with. They like belong to a, they're like an ambassador's kid or something like that, or congressman's kid, Mayor Pete. This probably guy's a CIA puppet. There's no other reason why this guy would be gotten as far as he has. He has to be some kind of tool, bought and paid for tool. It comes out last night that this guy funded the company that built the app for the Iowa caucus that supposedly exploded and crapped the bed. And who was this app built by? Of course, a number of Hillary Clinton associates, people who worked on her campaign. So Mayor Pete was funding tens of thousands of dollars to these Clinton associates to build this app that supposedly screwed up the entire caucus. I think probably what really happened is Biden wasn't doing so well, so they tried to rig the results, make it look like, oh, this crashed and this happened and that happened. But that's like just me. Anyhow, because they want Biden, of course, to do better than Bernie. And Bernie, I think, ended up winning the whole thing, or the results are going to be out later today. I can't keep up with this corrupt Democratic apparatus. It's too much to keep up with. And, of course, the Clintons' fingerprints are all over it, as they usually are. Here's a little tip. Anyone involved in any of the Clinton campaigns should be barred from politics. No lobbyists, no politics, no consulting, nothing. You should get a lifetime ban if you worked on any of the Clinton campaigns. That would help clean up the swamp. I don't know if Trump can do that with an executive order or what, but these people are insane. They are master criminals, the whole lot of them. And they're probably going to get away with this too. But it doesn't matter because they ruined the Iowa caucus. I think they ruined it. And, of course, we're talking about this Mayor Pete guy. Mayor Pete's number one fan, ladies and gentlemen, is just ignoring it. That's right. Matt Drudge, Mayor Pete's Uber fanboy. I looked at Drudge today, and he's got a story about how people in Iowa were really angry after finding out that Mayor Pete is gay. No story about how Pete paid cash to the Clinton associates to rig the caucus. Hey, Drudge, put your pants back on and cover the news. Fucking dope. No wonder your traffic is down 35-40% in 3 or 4 months. This guy's no better than the Clintons. Conservative news site. Give me a break. This guy's a dope. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff to do today. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we have another good interview. Crazy interview, matter of fact. It's one of those interviews that, as a patriot, makes you mad, at least made me mad after I did it. I listened back to it a couple times, and I'm like, this isn't right. This isn't like America when you find out more dirt on the Department of Justice at the very high levels from an unfortunate insider who had to go toe-to-toe with these people round for round. I interviewed somebody. I'm not going to say who yet because I want it to be a surprise. The way I'm laying the podcast out, I want it to be a surprise. But it's really disturbing, and I think you'll agree. We're also going to have some fun today. I have another episode of FBI Dumpster Fire we prepped, and I tell you what, it's fun putting these things together. That's all I can tell you. If it plays well and you folks like it, that all the better. But it's a lot of fun putting these things together, and it takes a long time because I'm laughing so much while I'm doing it, and I'm having fun, which is, it's, you know, part of the shtick here. I've been getting some heat lately because some people I trust in podcasting, podcasters, associates who are giving me great advice on this. This podcast is off the charts. It's way beyond our expectations at this stage. So, and I've been taking their advice, and I think that definitely has helped propel our numbers up because we don't have money for advertising and all that stuff and marketing. There is no budget. Somebody said, where are you advertising at? Nowhere. We don't have that kind of cash, and we never have, because we're not backed by anybody. not backed by somebody with $1,000, not backed by somebody with $1 million, not backed by somebody with $1 billion. We're just us, and we're funded by you all the way around, not just the podcast, but also the news site. So I have to work in these promotional things that help keep the lights on. Number one, if you want to help the show and you like what we're doing, the best way to do that right now is to buy the paperback, How We Dismantled the FBI in Our Pajamas. That's on Amazon. And if you follow FBIPajamas.com, it'll take you right there. Buy the paperback. That's the best way to benefit what we're doing. Also, rate us on iTunes or your podcast platform that you're on, and give us a rating. And if you want to say some kind words, you can say that. And if you want to say some bad words, I guess you're free to do that too. It's called the First Amendment. But that's another way to help us. You can find us at our news at truepundit.com. On Twitter, I'm at Thomas1774Payne. And we're also at true_pundit. That's Twitter. We're on Facebook too, True Pundit News on Facebook. Also have a Patreon page. I think there's like 70 or 80 video shows of me talking for an hour, hour and a half about politics for the last year and a half. Most shows are about 90 minutes. That's at patreon.com/truepundit. So if you want to see a guy who has a face for radio try to do TV, try to do video, that's another thing that you can benefit us. And we appreciate it. We really do. And that's what keeps us going. That's what funds us. And so those are the plugs. Again, FBI Pajamas, we have an offer, $50 gift card when you buy the paperback. And you can either play this back or just go to FBIPajamas.com, or it's been at the top of my Twitter page, Thomas1774Payne, for about a month now. I keep plugging it because we have to try to keep the lights on and that kind of stuff. And we appreciate it. So without further ado, let's get moving on this stuff. A lot of stuff. We're going to have some fun, and then we're going to get serious. That's the deal. You know, I joked last night on Twitter that Hillary's IT team was running the Iowa caucus, and now 33,000 Iowans are missing. That was before it came out that Clinton's team really did fuck up the Iowa caucus. I mean, these guys are, I was joking. And then 2 hours later, it came out. I said, geez, this is insane. These people are like maggots. They're all over the place. Really is crazy. Oh, I dropped the F-bomb. Yep, first one. I haven't been clapping or memorializing the first F-bomb lately because there have been so many. The last show, one of my relatives said, there's too many F-bombs. You're going to ruin the whole platform. Hey, I'm just being me, right? I don't listen to this stuff. Like, this is not forced. This isn't some guy trying to force the F-bombs or the swear words. This just happens. It comes out. I don't even recognize I'm doing it. So it's me. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get me. If you want some filtered bullshit, go watch Fox and those droids over there. Those guys who get their circuit boards tweaked every day and they get oiled up to go on TV and pretend like they're telling you something you don't know, when they take everything they know, everything they report, they're taking it from smaller news organizations like True Pundit anyway, and pretending like they broke it. So keep watching those dopes. How has that worked out for you? They lie on a nightly basis, and people watch like, ooh yeah, this is going to happen. No, nothing ever happens. Do you notice that? All the stories they break, nothing happens. Remember Uranium One they broke? Like it was a big scandal? I said, from day one, this is bullshit. This isn't even a scheme. This is all cooked up. They made this stuff up. They pumped it up. It was never going anywhere. People are like, you're so negative. You don't know what you're talking about. Okay. See, with me, you got to wait like 2 years or 3 years. I tweet something and then 2 or 3 years later, it quote unquote comes true. But people are now getting smart and listening to me from the get go. It takes a while to change people around. So anyway, let's have some fun.
We had so much fun a couple episodes ago, tooling on the FBI. One of my favorite things, they have these crazy overhyped, and they've been doing this for close to 100 years, this BS hype on TV, radio, now on the internet. They're all over the place about how great the FBI is and their propaganda. Now they have CBS pimping for them at every turn with their crazy shows. Most of them fail after a short amount of time. Nobody wants to, especially now, nobody wants to listen how great these people profess themselves to be when they know they're full of shit. So we had some fun tooling on them. I came up with this satire series, FBI Dumpster Fire. We're going to do another one of those again tonight. And there's a lot of good feedback on the FBI Dumpster Fire pilot, so to speak. It takes me a long time to do these because I literally laugh so hard while I'm doing them, and I have to go back and delete the recording and then do it again, and then I have to mix it, and I'm laughing so hard. And I don't know if anybody else gets that much enjoyment out of it, but I do, so that makes it worth something. So what we usually do is we play regular propaganda, and then I do a spin on it. We turn it into an FBI Dumpster Fire promo. So let's pick this one from FBI on CBS.
From Dick Wolf, executive producer of Law and Order, comes the new drama, FBI. CBS Tuesdays this fall.
The job doesn't stop, so I don't. Eventually you outrun it.
I'm Agent Bell, and this is my partner, Agent Zidane.
Two bombs, they both went boom, which means whoever we're looking for knows what they're doing. Easy
target. I just shut down half the city, and I can't open it up until we know it's safe. You two.
Did she say the agent's name was Agent Zidane? It's like a Middle Eastern-looking guy, and this Agent Zidane? What's the matter? Agent Saudi Arabia was taken, or he was in the same field office, or you could have at least said Agent Jordan or Agent Egypt or something. This is crazy. This is my partner, Agent Iran. Oh, man, I can't. Okay. So anyway, you can see how you can have a lot of fun with this stuff. They're so full of crap. So here's what we ended up with. We took the parts I just played for you and we kind of spun them a little bit.
From executive producer Dick Head comes the new drama, FBI Dumpster Fire, on CBS Mondays and CBS Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Oh, hell, it's on every damn night.
The job doesn't stop. It just keeps coming at you. Like Bill Clinton at a high school prom. Unless you're an FBI whistleblower who gets fired for doing the right thing and end up living in your car.
You can run, but you can't hide unless you work for the FBI and were fired or work for the Justice Department. Then it's okay to hide.
Yeah, we got two bombs that went kaboom out there, people, which means whoever we're looking for knows what they're doing. Of course, it also means we probably train those people, but don't let that leak out to the press or anybody in Congress. Keep that hush. Let's go, people. Let's get out there and hit the bricks.
FBI Dumpster Fire. Feel the burn.
I'm just laughing even listening to it play again, even though I spent some time with this thing. It's so funny. And it's just not because we're doing it or I did it or something. I'm not like patting myself on the back, but it literally is perfect with these Samantha heads who definitely create more problems than they solve. And then they have these TV shows and make them seem like they catch everybody in 45 minutes and everybody's a hero and they swoop in with the windbreakers on and save the day. Yeah, okay. Anyway, we're going to have some more fun with that down the road, but FBI dumpster fire, that's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be a big hit on CBS, but it's going to be a big hit on Apple, iTunes, and other places where you can listen to this podcast. We ran a story last night. Brad Parscale, campaign boss of the Trump campaign, he tweeted out, "These people want to run the country. They can't even run a caucus." That's what it's like. Mayor Pete, he wants to be president. Give me a break. We already had a moron who didn't know anything as president of the United States for 8 years. And we're going to have more of that? No, I don't think so. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that again. Our country is in bad shape for 8 years while these guys fleeced the country, robbed the country like criminals. And that's still trickling out now. That information, that intelligence continues to come out. The Clintons, the Bidens, and the list goes on and on and on. And we've been talking about it for weeks. And we're going to get more into that next week because we're working on this major heist, the Clintons. This major heist the Clintons pulled off on an international basis. And Biden's involved and all these people are involved. They're trying to keep it a secret. That's why they wanted to try to get Trump out of office. And they're not done yet. I'm starting to worry about, you know, the safety of Trump at this point because the political stuff hasn't worked. And these people have a history of taking things to the next level and they're scary people. Quick side note, Rush Limbaugh announced yesterday he has advanced lung cancer. So prayers go out to him, his staff. Bo Snerdly is a producer. He and I follow each other on Twitter. And I sent him a note yesterday and Rush's family. And, you know, I don't know Rush Limbaugh, but he did blaze a trail for people in conservative radio. Guys like Michael Savage and things like that. The guy is probably the most influential conservative voice in radio. I mean, I don't think there's any debate about that. So he has advanced lung cancer and he's going to start some treatments and he said he's going to miss some shows, understandably. And the guy was like upset that he's going to miss some shows. So Godspeed to him getting better and everything working out on the medical front for him. We wish him, his staff, his family, all the best. And I think a lot of people feel that way. Although yesterday, people came out, you know, on the other side and say, thank God this guy got sick. These people are insane. The Democrats, the liberals, they're insane. They really are. To wish that against somebody. Can you imagine that? These people are lowlifes. And we see that time and time again. They did it yesterday. They attacked Rush Limbaugh. And then last night, they ruined the Iowa caucus. Everything they touch turns to shit. I'm sorry to break the news to the mainstream media, the liberal teachers out there, the whole liberal apparatus. You're part of a shit organization. Wake up, right? Because there's only so many condos by the lake of fire in hell. You're not going to get a condo. The condos are reserved for John McCain, that whole crew. You're not going to be by the lake of fire. You're not going to have a good view, and you're going to be a slave in hell just like you are here. You're not going to be a VIP. So there's time for you to repent, my friends. Get the hell away from these crooked Democrats, these crooked liberals, and make something of your life, you know? Follow some Christianity and make your life better, make other people's life better instead of fucking everybody's life up on a regular basis. That was a pretty good rant. So we'll jump into some other things here, but this Iowa caucus thing is really unbelievable. What do you say? What? Press it on the board. Wait a minute. What?
Oh. We already did that.
Okay, I guess we could do it again, right?
Press on the board for some.
Hey, a plug with music. Cool. FBIPajamas.com. Another plug to help us out, to help underwrite our efforts here on the podcast, the website, and beyond. How we dismantled the FBI in our pajamas. That's how you can do it. Purchase the book. We appreciate it. Is that it? Oh, yeah. $50 gift card for shirts, hats, hoodies. When you purchase it, send a screenshot of it. Is this like the dating game? Send a screenshot of your Amazon order to promo@truepundit.com and pick bachelor number one, bachelor number two, or bachelor number three. Hey, Chuck Woolery. Okay, enough for that. Okay, we're going to move into something serious now, but thank you for reminding me about the to work in that additional promotion for the book that helps keep things funded. Okay, we had some fun. Now let's get serious. What other podcast does that? You have some fun. A lot of these guys I listen to are stiffs. They're not funny. You have to have humor. Maybe if you can't generate it yourself, buy it. Hire somebody. Write some jokes or something. Come on, lighten up. Guys are a bunch of Sears mannequins. But let's get serious now. Okay, a little birdie told me, and I have a lot of little birdies, and this has not been anywhere in the media because my birdies tend to fly a little bit higher than other people's birdies in the media. Little birdie told me somebody was at the White House this week with a special meeting, stealth meeting, and I was able to catch up with this individual. And the interview that is about to unfold is very disturbing to me, at least. It was very disturbing, very telling, and I was able to obtain information that hasn't been out there yet. Breaking news is what I do. Didn't do anything special. Just talk to people and listen to them. And I think that if you make people comfortable by listening to them, sometimes they tell you things that you may not have heard before in other places. Or maybe they did tell these people these similar things, and the media just doesn't print them, doesn't publish them, doesn't broadcast them because a little bit edgy. They make the establishment, Department of Justice, the FBI, make these people look like real scumbags. If that's what the truth is, what's the matter with the truth? Say the truth and let the chips fall where they may. People familiar with Fast and Furious, the gun running scandal. Department of Justice was running illegal guns through Mexico. Border Patrol agent Brian Terry was murdered by illegals, cartel gangsters, with a gun supplied by Eric Holder's Department of Justice in this scheme they ran with the ATF. They're all implicated, DOJ, ATF, FBI. Brian Terry was killed and murdered. It's still an open scab. Unfinished business, as they say. The Terry family, God bless them, wants everybody involved in the Department of Justice. The Terry family wants some closure. They want the people responsible for running this scheme, illegal scheme, locked up. This is the case where Holder was found in contempt by Congress because he wouldn't show up on the Hill and answer questions under oath. Gee, I wonder why. My little birdies told me that Josephine Terry, Brian Terry's mother, was at the White House. And why she was there will unfold during the interview. I'll let her tell you why. She was gracious enough to spend some time with me. And what she told me, to me, is another realm of corruption, distrust, whatever adverb, adjective you want to use. It's so depressing, time and time again, for the Justice Department to outdo themselves. A new low. So let's play this with Josephine Terry, the mother of Brian Terry, the murdered Border Patrol agent, killed with a gun from a scheme cooked up by Eric Holder, the Obama administration. A dead U.S. citizen, a dead federal agent. These people have blood on their hands and they could care less. Let's listen to this. I'm just trying to recap on why you think or how you feel about it seems like the Justice Department keeps delaying this situation by releasing records, Fast and Furious records, obviously, regarding your son and your son's unfortunate death. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on and your thoughts on that.
Well, the records of my son were, I'm trying to think of the word. They were put under lock and key by Obama.
Right.
And I've had a few interviews with President Trump, and everything keeps falling in front of him for him to get at our problem, which he told me that he would do. But he keeps getting all these things in front of him, you know, and I understand that. Well, as soon as he can get all of this other stuff that's, you know, his impeachment and everything that they keep putting in front of him, that keeps detouring our case, and I understand that. Well, I didn't go there to testify. We had a private conference, me and my kids.
Was it with the Justice Department or the White House?
No, just with Mr. Trump.
Okay. All right. I got you.
Yeah.
So your feeling is that because this is so bogged down with all the nonsense going on in the House where they're coming after him, that obviously he has other priorities.
Right. Because when he gets his schedule cleared off and he can start doing his business, he's going to work with us and also the poor guys in Benghazi. So we're both waiting. I mean, I feel bad for him. I don't want to keep bugging him, you know, because I know he's got a lot on his shoulders right now. And I just hope, you know, I live long enough to see what happens.
Well, so does everybody else. I mean, I haven't been a fan in my career of Eric Holder. I used to work for the Justice Department back in the day. I left journalism. I went back in. I went into intel. Now I've come back into journalism. So I'm not a big fan of Eric Holder, and I know that you probably have similar feelings.
When all this happened to Brian, it was a while before we found out what really happened to Brian. What was the hush-hush, you know? Because at first we thought Brian was just killed by illegals. Well, they were illegals, you know. But we didn't know that he was killed by a Fast and Furious gun that our government put out there. And as far as Eric Holder, I've already had a meeting with Eric Holder 4 years ago, and it didn't amount to nothing. Me and my son can't.
What did the Attorney General say at that point?
Oh, he actually told me to my face that Bryant was collateral damage.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Brian was considered collateral damage. And before we went to visit him, a year before we went and visit him, I sent him and the other lady, Camatano, whatever her name was.
In the Justice Department?
Yeah, the one that retired. Well, anyway, Eric Holder said he never got a letter, and then the secretary that was with him said, yeah, you did, it was on your desk. And he said, well, I never read it. I didn't see it. And I said, well, that was a year ago. How could a letter be on your desk for a year? I said, but that's okay. I brought a copy. You could read it right now in front of us.
What did he say?
Nothing.
Did he read it?
My son, Ken, he read it. My son Ken kept throwing all these questions at him. And when we were ready to walk out, he asked my son Ken, he said, you're a real smart guy. He said, how'd you like to have a job with me? Ken says, no, thank you.
Yeah. Wait, this has gone beyond bizarre. I mean, you're there you're talking about your son who was murdered.
Yeah.
And then he says, well, that's just a tough break, lady. You know, he signed up for it, sort of like this is what it sounds to me.
Yeah.
And then on your way out the door, he offers your other son a job. I don't understand.
Yeah. If you would talk to my son, Ken, he could tell you everything that happened in that room.
Yeah, I like to set something up and speak with him in future for sure. I would just wanted to catch up with you because this seems like it's off everybody's radar, and perhaps we can try to put it a little back on people's radar and then maybe back on the front burner for the president and his Department of Justice to do something about it. What specifically do you want the DOJ to do?
What we really want, we want all the people responsible to either go to jail. They should go to jail. But they did. They should go to jail.
You're talking about the folks in the government responsible for this gun running scheme?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Right.
And it's not only Eric Holder. It was Obama, Dennis Burke, all them guys.
You feel that this goes all the way to the top? I mean, I think the evidence points to Obama, and I think it's...
Oh, it is Obama. Yeah, it is Obama. Yeah. See, and then when we got our attorneys and we were going to court, one of Obama's judges didn't even want our attorneys. They didn't listen to a word our attorney said. They shut us down completely and threw it out of court.
So when you look back on all this, right, your son becomes a federal agent.
You have to know my son, Brian, to know this kid was, from the time he was born, he was like a little genius, you know. I mean, he was a perfectionist. He was all A student through grade school and high school. He never gossiped about anybody. He was physically fit. I mean, he was just a nice guy. He had so many friends. He was a police officer for 8 years. He was president of the police academy in his class, and he was outstanding in the Border Patrol. When we went to see him graduate, they let him lead all them guys off the base because he was number one, and then he goes and he's excited about this job, and he gives it more than 10%. And then he comes home and then he tells me, he says, you know, Mom, something's going on. He says, I don't even want to go back. And I says, what's going on, Brian? He said, I can't tell you. Brian would never talk about nothing. He was very hush-hush. But he was a good kid. He lived by himself. He knew how to save money. He knew how to dress. He knew how to talk to people. He was nice to people. Never said a bad word about nobody. He didn't like gossip, and he wasn't racist at all. His best two friends were black guys, and they still are his best friends. They visit me all the time. And to a kid, for that to happen to a kid like that, and they throw it underneath the rug, that's what makes you mad.
Yeah, he's one of the good guys.
Kid. He was a good guy. Brian had so many friends here. I mean, there wasn't anybody that did not like Brian at all. And I'm not saying that was my kid, but even at his funeral, so many people come up to me, told me how well he was liked in school, all his friends he had. He's well-liked on the police force. The Border Patrol agents all told me they all looked up to him, you know. He was just a good person.
Well,
always there to help somebody.
Let me take this opportunity to offer you my late condolences. I've never spoken to you before, so I never had a chance to do that. And also say that myself, my family, we appreciate folks in law enforcement and federal agents who put their life and their lives on the line. And I appreciate your son's service. So,
yeah. And you know who told my son to be a Border Patrol agent was his cousin. And he was a Secret Service for Obama.
Right.
And he called up Brian. He says, hey, try, because Brian kept saying, he said he was tired of those, when he was a police officer, going into these homes, you know, domestic violence. He said, I'm tired of that, Ma. He says, I got to do something different. I want to make a difference. I don't want to run into these homes where the wife is getting beat up and the kids are neglected. He was tired of it.
Josephine, what are your thoughts now? This has been going on too long, a number of years, almost a decade. Am I right? Is this almost a decade old?
9 years. Nine years.
Right.
9 years.
This is a decade old. What are your thoughts now on, I guess, the country, the justice system, the Justice Department, Washington, D.C., the whole bucket?
I don't trust any of them anymore. Not at all. Especially a Democrat. I'm a true Trump. I'm a true Trump fan. I've been to four of his rallies. He's always invited us. We've been to the White House twice. And I met him at a couple other doings. You know, I give him a T-shirt, a coin of Brian's. But when you go to the White House, there's so many things you have to go through inspection. You can't just go in there and talk to him.
Right.
You know. And you can't have a camera. You can't have a recording, you know. So.
Well, I'd like to talk to your son, too, for a future segment. I may do a podcast on this, if that's okay with you.
Oh, that's fine.
Is there a way folks can donate to your son's foundation?
Yes.
What do they need to do?
All they have to do is go on the Brian Terry Foundation. If they go on the internet, they go to Brian Terry Foundation, and we have a donation page.
Okay, so they look up Brian Terry, Terry spelled T-E-R-R-Y, Brian Terry Foundation. They Google that, and they can get to the main page.
Yep, go to the Brian Terry Foundation.
Okay. I'll put that when I do the podcast, I'll frame it right so that I'll do
that. That would be great.
Yeah. And
because that's all we run on is donations, you know.
Right. Now, what does the money go to?
I was just going to tell you that. Last year, we give out scholarships to kids that want to go in law enforcement or criminal justice. And last year, we had 75 kids that we got to donate to.
That's a lot of kids.
Yep. And we usually give them, all depends on how much money that we got. You know,
right.
We're not a big foundation yet, but I think they got $5,000 each last year.
Wow. That takes the sting off of college or school for sure.
Yeah, and we just had one girl graduate. She put in an application 4 years in a row for the Brian Terry, and we send her the money, and she just graduated from college. She was our first person to graduate from the Brian Terry Foundation. Yeah, we were proud to see that.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's why I asked where the money goes, because I know it's going somewhere good.
That's where it goes, and it's a 501c, you know.
Right, so everything's tax deductible.
Right.
That's good stuff.
I'm glad you asked me about that, because we try to get all the donations we can to help these kids, you know.
So. Well, I personally hope that you get some resolution in Washington, D.C., and President Trump can clear his plate, and the Department of Justice will start releasing some of the things that they've been holding back and basically covering up. I mean, this is a cover-up. So,
we all know that.
Yeah,
we all know that.
To try to get you guys some resolution, some closure. I mean, it's not – I had a good buddy of mine who was a federal agent who lost his son when his son was like 34, 35, and I can't empathize with you losing your son, but I watched the just pain in this man when he lost his son. So I can only imagine how terrible it is. And then one thing to lose your son, and then under these circumstances where everybody wants to keep everything hidden and not really isn't it just better to tell the truth? I mean, if mistakes were made, let's just tell the truth.
No, they won't.
Yeah.
That's what my son said. My oldest son, Kent. I said, he told him, just tell us the truth. We had a hard time after Brian died because we thought that they had bugged our phones, and I think they were worried, you know, because we were starting to catch on.
You mean the Obama administration and intelligence apparatus?
Yeah.
Were they trying to keep quiet? Was that the deal? They would try to keep you quiet, or you were thinking they were trying to intimidate you somehow?
No, I think they were trying to see what we knew by our phone conversations and that.
That's ridiculous.
But you know, when Brian came home the last couple of times, the last time he was home, we went out to dinner, and we come back, and him and I were sitting in the living room, and I said, Brian, what's wrong with you? I said, you're acting edgy. He goes, you know, Mom, because he was leaving the next day, and he says, I don't want to go back, and I said, why? He says, I'm scared something bad's going to happen. I said, well, what do you mean? See, Brian knew what was going on, but he was afraid. He was afraid because he had it all wrote down in a journal.
So you mentioned earlier, about 10 minutes earlier, that he was getting some type of a vibe that something wasn't right and he didn't want to go back. And you're saying when he was in Michigan, it was time for him to go back to work.
Yep. He was home for the weekend. What did he come home for? He's home for something. But he was supposed to come back for Christmas. I think he was home.
Maybe Thanksgiving.
One of his buddies got married or something. I think he was staying up to a wedding. I'm not sure.
What does he say in the journal? You've read the journal?
Yeah, my son's got the journal, and they wanted the journal. My son said, you never get it.
They asked for they won't give you anything, but they want everything from you, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know where he hid the journal?
Where?
We didn't even know. It was a year, almost a year later, my son Kent got most of the clothes and stuff and shoes. Well, Brian had a new pair of boots for work, and he still had them in the box. So my son Kent is a heavy machine operator, and he wears them big boots too.
Right.
So he says, I want to try those boots on that Brian has. They're still new and they're in the box, you know. So he couldn't get them on, and when he went put his hand in, he pulled out the journal.
Wow.
So why would Brian hide that?
Because he figured if someone goes through his stuff or they come and they look through the house, if I opened up a brand new pair of boots and I saw him in there, I would just put the lid back on top and put the box back in the closet.
Right.
That's what he was thinking. I'll tuck it in.
They went through his house with a fine tooth comb.
Who did? The FBI?
The FBI and whoever, the Border Patrol, the government, I don't know. They wouldn't let us in.
Oh, wait a minute. He gets shot because of a program they're running, and then they basically raid his house looking for stuff?
Yep, they took his computers, they took his private computer. They took his cell phone. They took his private gun, his own gun. We never got to go back in the house, never.
You couldn't even go back into his place?
Nope.
So, when my father passed away, Josephine, he was living alone in a city. So, after the funeral, his girlfriend came to me and said, "Hey, do you want to go through the house, take a look? Maybe you can see whatever. And if you if you want to take something with you, a memento or something, you can." You didn't even have an opportunity to do that.
Nope.
That's insane. Nope. That is.
I had to have one of his close friends go in the house that I knew, and Brian, I knew that Brian trusted, and her husband, her two older boys, packed up everything, and they drove it out here to U-Haul. And we had to buy it. I had to pay for it.
You mean you had to pay for the U-Haul?
No, I had to pay for his stuff.
Wait a minute.
Yep, it come out. Dennis Burke, the guy that was in charge of all that, he did something to the house where nobody could go in. And my husband and I were divorced then. Brian had just bought a brand new Corvette, and that was in the garage. And my husband asked me, he said, "What are we going to do with it, with the Corvette?" And I said, "Well, we'll have to sell it." He says, "Well, I'll buy it." So.
Right.
He says, "It's Brian's car." He says, "I'll buy it, you know." And then he was going to give it to my son in case something happened to him. But he had to buy the Corvette, you know, that Brian had, and I bought all the furniture. He had just bought that house. He just bought no new furniture.
Well, it's a pretty good indication that something very wrong is at play when you can't even go into your son's house after he passes away and they lock the place down like a crime scene.
That's when we knew there was something wrong, something they didn't want us to see. They took everything. They took this. We even had my nephew that worked for Secret Service. He even had the hard drive sent to the FBI to see what was on them. And the federal government already cleaned them out.
What do you mean?
Whatever was on the hard drive that Brian had on his personal and business hard drive, the federal government took them and they cleaned them out. The FBI couldn't find nothing on them.
So what, they blanked them? They like wiped them clean?
Yep, they wiped them clean, and whatever was on there, we never knew what was on there.
Did you get them back in any form, or no? They just said there's nothing to give back.
I got them back 5 years later.
Blank.
And you couldn't do nothing with them. It was like they burned the hard drive.
Yeah, so if there was anything on it, you will never know to begin with.
Never.
Huh. He could have been compiling documents. Who knows what he had.
Brian was a very private person, and Brian knew how to hide stuff. But I don't know. I think he was smart enough not to put anything out there.
Well, if he had a journey, he was tucking away in a boot. There's a good chance that that's where he was doing a lot of his documentation or writing things down. What did he say in his journal that jumped out at you that was alarming or that, as a mom,
There was a few times that he pulled over illegals and they had guns in the back. And he called in and told them, it wasn't like one gun, it was a bunch of guns. And he would call in and they would say, "Let it go." And Brian would go, "What?" He'd say, "Let them go. Turn them loose. Guns and all, turn them loose."
This is in Arizona.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Those are the things that jump out at you that was in the journal.
Yep.
Well,
I think Brian was scared. He also wrote three letters to the union. And the union, when we went there for Brian's memorial right after he died, the union called our family in secrecy and told us about the three letters that Brian sent. And he told us, he said, "If anybody ever asks you that we told you about it," he said, we're going to tell them, we never talked to you guys.
So he was writing in a whistleblower capacity, I would imagine?
Well, he was trying to reach for help for what they were doing. So he said three letters to the Border Patrol Union, the guys that, you know, were over the union. And they got the emails, you know, the things. I don't know what happened now, but they said that they would never testify or nothing. That they never talked to us. They were just letting us know what Brian knew.
Well, a lot of the things that I've read and things now that you're telling me that are additional things I didn't know. Do you think something bad happened to him intentionally because he?
No.
Okay.
No, because I went to all the court hearings on the five guys that they arrested, and they can't even speak English.
Right.
You know, I think those guys were set up too, probably. You know, they were going in there to steal from these people that were trying to come in here. They're taking their money and their food, and even, you know, a lot of times, like Brian and them, they would go out in the desert for 2-3 days and wait for illegals because they knew there was guns hidden out there and they were picking them up.
Right. We can talk in the future, and I can talk to your son, and, you know, I hope you get some resolution, but I'm glad I mean, this is ridiculous. And the things you're telling me about the blanking the computers and stuff, I didn't know anything about. I haven't read that anywhere. I'll look again and see if I could find that.
They're not going to put that out there. You call my son Kent, and he'll tell you everything. He would give you more information, probably more accurate than me.
Yeah, but it's always good to talk to mom. So that's like,
I know.
That's my first stop. I want to see. What's going on?
Well, I'm surprised I'm really talking to you because, you know what? So many people call me and I don't know who they are because I get a lot of prank. When Brian first died, I got a lot of bad people, you know, calling.
What do you mean? When he was on the job?
No, after he died, you know, the people would call and they'd say, well, he knew that was a bad job. That's what he listed for and this and that, you know, and they hang up. And
who was calling you?
People we didn't even know.
All right, so you pick up the phone, you're like, hello, and what happens? What happens?
They'll say, are you Brian Terry's mother? Well, you know, I'm sorry to say that he passed away, but that's the job he picked. You know, he knew what he was in for, you know. Click.
Who goes out of their way to do that? That's those aren't regular folks, Josephine.
Well,
those are people who are being told to call you, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But after a while, they stop calling, so.
Yeah, usually when somebody stops paying them to call and pester you, they don't call you when they're not being paid. These guys are like professional harassers, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
I'm sorry you had
where
to go.
Where are you from?
I'm from outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, outside of Philadelphia. Oh,
yeah.
My sister lives in New Jersey over there.
Well, does she?
Yeah, we go to Philadelphia a lot when I go visit her.
Where does she live in Jersey?
Mountain.
Mountain, that's big money up there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I appreciate the time, you taking time to talk to me and taking time out of your day.
Fine.
And I'm sorry about your son.
Well, thank you. Well, make sure you put the word out about our foundation.
Absolutely. That's going to be, okay. Yeah, I definitely will do that. I won't stiff you for sure.
the more help we get in our foundation, the more we can do for all these young kids.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know?
Try to salvage some good out of something
right.
Disastrous.
And Brian would be so proud of that.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was nice to hear you talking about the kind of person he was. You don't get a lot of that in the media. It's like, oh, he was a border agent, and that's it. It's like, wait a minute, there's a lot more behind any person. So it was nice to hear the way you talked about him.
Well, he was a good kid. He was a good son. And he loved his mom. He was a mama's boy. They both were.
There's nothing wrong with that.
My daughters used to say, "Oh, here we go. Here's mom with the boys again. Do you want this? Do you want that?"
Well,
that's what you get when you get sons. They're close to mama.
Daughters are just going to have to cope with it. That's the way it is.
Yeah, they laugh it off. We have a bike run in Arizona that's done by the, they don't, whatever they make, they donate half to us. And then we have a 5K run. We have four of them or five of them a year. And then we have one guy that does shot shows. He does, he has a business where he teaches people how to shoot guns and that, you know.
Yeah, you mean SHOT Show in Las Vegas?
Yeah,
that's coming up, I think, in a week or two.
No, we just had it.
We just had it. Okay, I'm behind. Yeah.
Well, he just raised $13,000 for us.
That's awesome.
And he was 4 years ago, he's from Michigan. He rode his bike from Michigan to Arizona. It took him, I think, 60 days.
You mean a regular bike, like a Schwinn, not a Harley Davidson, like a Schwinn bike?
Oh no, a Schwinn bike. But wow. But he's a biker. He's a mountain climber biker, so he had it special made. But he rode that in honor of Brian. All the way to Arizona, and he raised almost $100,000 for us.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, if there's other people out there that are listening to riding bikes, they should also contact Brian Terry Foundation, maybe get some more bicyclists out there, some more bikers, whatever, to try to raise funds or for folks to maybe use that as a future fundraising opportunity.
Well, that's what he's going to do this year. Right now he's in Arizona for the winter. And when he comes back, on the way back, he's going to bike ride on the way back. And he's going to have certain cities, he's going to have bikers in certain cities where they can pick up, you know?
Right.
Like they ride to certain cities and then these other people bike someplace else.
Like a relay, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Relay.
Right, so you don't have to bike all the way. You can just kind of hand it off to the next guy.
Exactly.
Well, that's good stuff.
So he's working on that too.
So there you have it, folks. That was an interview with Josephine Terry, mother of slain Border Patrol agent Brian Terry, who was gunned down, killed by illegal gangsters, illegal cartel members who were supplied guns by Eric Holder and his Justice Department and the Obama administration. Great group of guys. I almost let the F-bombs swear. I'm trying to keep the F-bombs down this episode because I don't want, like, tell you the truth, I've been really trying hard because I don't want Josephine Terry, I know she's going to be listening to this podcast, and I don't want her to think like I'm insane, but I could drop plenty of F-bombs right now. You listen to that, it makes me furious, and I don't know, you know, Brian Terry is an American hero, for God's sakes, his family. They're heroes. They're survivors. They're heroes. And what they've had to endure is absolutely a disgrace. And these people who are responsible in the government continue to get away with it, to thumb their noses at us. It's beyond frustrating. These people continue to thumb their noses at us as Americans, as patriots, as law-abiding citizens. They're laughing at us. They're laughing at people like Josephine Terry. They're laughing at her son, Kent Terry. They're laughing at his life, at his death. Holder already killed one of her sons and then offers her other son a job. What? Josephine Terry just took us on a trip to the gates of hell. That's where we just were. Combine a mother's grief, a mother's sorrow. The lowest you can go, a parent loses a child. is about as low as you can go. And this clown tells her to her face that her son's death was collateral damage. And, oh, how about we give your kid a job? He's pretty smart. Give the kid a job. See, Attorney General of the United States, like, laughing at Josephine Terry. That's how I see it. Yeah, just what the Terrys need. They already had one son that worked for you, and you killed him. You crazy bastard. Why would they entrust another son to the federal government? Have you lost your mind? These people are an evil people, man. This is ground zero of insanity. Let's call up this website, honorbrianterry.com. H-O-N-O-R, Honor Brian, B-R-I-A-N, Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, honorbrianterry.com. That's where you're going to find the Brian Terry Foundation, and that's how you can kick a few dollars to these people to benefit the foundation, as Josephine Terry explained, seeks to honor her son Brian. They provide college scholarships. They also provide, she didn't talk about it, but I looked it up. They also provide emotional and financial assistance to families of injured and slain Border Patrol agents. And also trying to raise the public awareness of the Fast and Furious investigation and the Fast and Furious scandal. In general, just trying to make some positives out of a disastrous way that Brian Terry's life ended. I've worked with guys like Terry. They're glasses of milk. They're Boy Scouts. They're perfect. Guys you want. Guys that you know that no matter what happens, they'll have your back, even if they got to take a bullet for it. These guys are rare. And it's very strange. A lot of these guys, we saw the similar people in Benghazi, right? These are salt-of-the-earth guys. These are stand-up guys. Something often happens to guys like this while the rats continue to multiply and prosper. It's very frustrating, but that's a whole nother story. Let's just try to stay focused on this. This is another interview that, to me, makes me angry as a patriot. And I have to tell you, it's taken everything that I have not to drop some F-bombs. Because again, I don't want Josephine Terry to listen to this and think that I'm like besmirching her son's legacy and her son's story by going off the rails. But I'm pretty close to going off the rails here. It's very frustrating. This is kind of stuff I've been trying to talk to you folks about and explain to you, that these are evil people, man. Stuff you see on TV in the movies, those are actors. These people are evil. The lowest of the low. Folks, everything you heard is beyond disturbing. Especially the fact that the U.S. Attorney, Dennis Burke, and the Department of Justice, because they categorized Brian Terry's house, I guess, and belongings as a part of a crime scene. You're getting shot and murdered by the Department of Justice. Now you're the victim. No. Now you're the criminal. You're dead and you're part of a quote-unquote crime scene. They had to buy his stuff. The family had to buy his stuff back from the government. I tell you one thing. Regardless whether it happens here, karma on earth, or in the great beyond, all you corrupt banditos, there's a special place in hell, and you better hope I don't see you dirty bastards there.